23, on or off? 2 Kings chapter 22 this evening. Try to preach something this morning. I don't know what I preached. I'll try to preach something tonight. I don't know what I preached this morning. I'm sure I had a couple of good thoughts, but I didn't say anything about them, evidently, amen. Or if I did say something about them, I quit halfway through and couldn't remember what I was about to say. But that's the way it goes sometimes, I suppose. One consolation, a long-haired guy with earrings hugged my neck before he left, amen. But at any rate, you never know. Some folks say this thing or that thing about what you ought to say and what you ought not to say while you're preaching. And I'm kind of critical myself sometimes, but I'd say this morning's preaching was about the worst I've ever heard. So, but at any rate, 2 Kings chapter 22, and we'll try to talk about a few things tonight. And if I don't feel like I'm doing the job I'm supposed to, I'll sit down and we'll go to the house or something. 2 Kings chapter 22, I don't know, working out in the, it was nice and warm for a couple of weeks, at least it was moderate. I wouldn't necessarily say warm for a fellow that lived a long time in Georgia. 70 degrees is kind of cold to me. But at any rate, turned back cold Thursday and Friday working out there in that wind. And I got myself a cold or the flu or something, I don't know. But I'll be sure to come by your pew while I'm preaching and holler real loud so you can suffer with me, amen? But at any rate, the Bible says bear one another's burdens. That's talking about viruses and flus and all kinds of stuff too, correct? Amen. All right, 2 Kings chapter 22. This is kind of an interesting chapter to me. It kind of surprises you after you, as you're reading through the Bible. If you start in Genesis and read all the way through, you kind of get a narrative as you go, and then you hit this chapter, and I'm always surprised when I see it, although I know it's there, but there's a lot of stuff in the Bible to remember. I haven't got it all memorized yet. Have you? So from time to time, I forget something's in there, but as I go back through it and I begin to read it, sometimes things jump out at you and surprises you all over again. And this is a good book, though. You read it and read it and read it. I've got tons of books, and I want some more, by the way. I like books. I like to read. I read books of all kinds. I read books that might surprise you. I don't know anything about mathematics. I mean, I am extremely mad at myself for not learning mathematics as I went through, but I've got tons of books on mathematics. And I've got a book called The Principia that was written by Isaac Newton. And man, there is a lot of information. I don't have any idea what it's talking about, but I read it anyway. It's talking about the motion of the planets and all kinds of stuff. I love reading that stuff. I love books of all kinds. But see, I've been reading that book. It's about this thick. I've been trying to read that book for about 6 years now, but I will finish it at some point. If a book is saying something, I like to read it. I read that Alexander Hislop wrote a book called The Two Babylons. I got about halfway through it, and I said, I ain't reading this no more because it's not really saying anything, and a lot of the stuff that it says in there isn't true at all. And, you know, a lot of stuff kind of latches itself onto Christianity that way. You know, to hear some folks tell that Easter really means Ishtar, and it's some Greek goddess or some kind of false pagan god or something like that. When you paint an Easter egg, you know, you're worshiping the devil and stuff like that. I got bad news for you. As a man whose last name is Easter, Easter doesn't mean anything remotely close to Ishtar. The guy who invented the word Easter is so closely connected to your King James Bible, you wouldn't even believe it. But the word Easter means either the setting of the sun or it means east. From time to time, we say the word Eastern. And it comes from a German word called Oster, which means east. If you look on old maps, you'll find the little body of water there between Norway and Russia. It's called the Oster Sea on the old maps, called the Eastern Sea. But at any rate, Baptists do love their ancient history, don't they? But at any rate, this, you know, you read stuff. I read a book by a guy that's called The Venerable Bede. And he has books on the reckoning of time, how you figure out when Easter is going to be on every you know, every year and different stuff like that, the history of the English people and their religions and different stuff like that. Well, he was a Catholic priest, and he was trying to convert the English people from one set of paganisms to another set of paganisms, and he come up with this thing with no documentation whatsoever about this pagan worship of Ishtar, no documentation anywhere that was true. But Baptists seem to eat that stuff up. But at any rate, Alexander Hislop's book is full of that stuff, and it's just ridiculous. But at any rate, I mean, some of it might be true, but who's got time to spend their time on reading stuff like that? I like true stuff. I like good stuff. I like thoughtful stuff. That's what I like about preaching. I like thoughtful preaching. I like to hear preaching where it sounds like somebody actually thought about what they were about to say, which is why I hated so much this morning's sermon. It sounded like it's some kind of fella that just fell off the pumpkin truck yesterday trying to get two thoughts together. But at any rate, I said all that to say this. I like to read things that are good and right, and reading my Bible out of all the books that I've read before, I haven't read too many books more than once. But this one seems to be good every time. Read it and read it and read it and read it. A guy named, what's the guy's name? David McCullough wrote a book about John Adams. I think I've read that about 10 times. That's a great book. And 1776 by the same author is a good book. And The Wright Brothers, the story of the Wright Brothers, First in Flight, all that good stuff, North Carolina and such as that. I read that book once and thought about it a lot of times. I hadn't read it again yet. But it's a good book and a lot of good stuff out there to read. I recommend reading over television watching. Anyway, and if I'm not reading a book, I like to listen to books. Get a book on audio or something like that and listen to it and kill the time. And then from time to time, I'm like you and watch TV and stuff like that. And YouTube, I think YouTube's better than you know, national television. But at any rate, the Bible, the King James Bible, is a great book. You read it over and over and over and over, and you would swear somebody's messing with it while you're not looking, coming in, writing it and writing it and writing it. I bought a book one time that was kind of spooky. It was, at any rate, I won't even tell you what the name of it is. Some of you go out and buy it like a bunch of knotheads. But I bought the book when I was in the Marine Corps in Jacksonville, Florida. Not Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, North Carolina. I picked it up at one of the local bookstores and took it home, had bad dreams, and threw it away the next day. Hey, man, I don't want a spooky book, although I have been spooked out a time or two reading my Bible. At any rate, it's a good book. You read it over and over and over. I think I got on this because I was talking about reading through the Bible and finding this thing to be a surprise each and every time. But then again, read through the Bible and see something, you marvel at it, you read on, kind of forget about it, you come back through, it surprises you again. That ought not to be too surprising because you go to church and oftentimes you go to the church with people, the same people, week after week after week. Sometimes they'll surprise you and be a lot less Christian than you thought they were. Sometimes they'll surprise you. You know them. You feel like you know them. You know part of their names. Sometimes you know their first name. You pray for them as that guy. Lord, help that guy and help this lady. But you think you know them, and sometimes they surprise you and be not quite the Christian you thought they were, and sometimes they surprise you, and they're far more than the Christian that you thought. The problem is, see, it's not that they aren't as good a Christian as you thought, and it's not that they're more of a Christian than you thought. It's just that you don't know everything about them. Amen. Amen. And what you really think about what kind of Christian they are really isn't. Matter of fact, I'll just say it this way. It really isn't any of your business. It's their Father in Heaven's business. Yeah, then as a pastor, you have to take extra note of those things. You have to be extra concerned with those things because the Bible says that a pastor, a preacher, in that capacity will give an account for people's souls. And whether you like it or not, whether that really sets well with you or not, it is your pastor's business what's going on in your life. And so you have to take thought to some of these things sometimes. And sometimes people surprise you. you think they're great Christians, it turns out not to be so. Or you think that they're not good Christians, you find out they really are. But people are, as much as they are the same, they are, you know, there's a lot of diversity in people's thoughts about things, and that's another 2 hours worth of talking in and of itself, but sometimes people surprise you. And the book is alive. And sometimes it surprises you, amen? I've read my Bible a lot of times, and sometimes I'll go through and I'll take it with extreme negativity because it just hits me that way. But then you read through it again, that same verse hits you with extreme positivity. Now, most of the time, if you've ever heard the saying, which it's a Bible saying, it's a Bible quotation, that you reap what you sow, 9 times out of 10, you take that with extreme negativity. And you rarely hear that preached. You rarely hear that in a Sunday school lesson, but it'll be negative. You hear it and it's negative. And it's brought out in a negative light. But that verse is just as positive, COVID, just as positive as it is negative. It's just as positive as it is negative. And so your Bible, it's alive. The Bible says that it's alive and that it looks inside of your soul and it divides between the joints and the marrow, the physical stuff, and the spirit, which is the spiritual. It divides between those things and it sees you for who you are and it talks to you accordingly. I believe that with all my heart. Now, if you're going to have the Bible speak to you in some kind of profound way, it's going to have to be a two-way conversation. You're going to have to pray without ceasing. The Bible says that God would have all men to pray everywhere without wrath and doubt and lifting up holy hands. The Bible gives you all these instructions. Those are not just suggestions. Amen. Pray and seek God's face and God will reveal his face to you and cause his light to shine on you. But it is a two-way street. And I've heard so many people say, I've tried to read my Bible, but it's just too boring. Well, that's probably because your heart's not in it. Amen. And I've said it myself. You know, you get to the Chronicles. Man, there's many a chapter in Chronicles I'd rather just skip over. It's just names. It's just names. It's just names. It's just names. Well, I got a name. Amen. Just read it, man. Just read up. Maybe you don't know what a blessing the middle of Chronicles and the end of Chronicles might be if you don't skip the first part. You know, you skip the green beans and go right to the strawberry shortcake. That's not the way your mama let you do it. I was just thinking I have let my boy skip right to dessert a couple times. But I'm not a good parent. You're a good parent. You don't let your kids skip right to dessert, do you? No. Sometimes you're going to have to put in some effort. Sometimes because of the flesh, you might not find the scripture to be as interesting as it otherwise might be if, say, you had prayed 45 minutes the day before or that particular day. In such cases as that, you might find it a little more interesting. And we all live lives and we pour our hearts and minds into our jobs and you know, finances and providing our wives and children and husbands with something to eat. Nice, warm, safe place to stay. And you should. You should pour a lot of time into stuff like that. And I find that what the case is that sometimes we put so much into the things that are really right to do that we end up going through the motions on these things that don't really require much of our time. It really doesn't require much of your time to go to church on Sunday morning. Although you would think it did because considering the hurry that you're in to get out. But it's really not much. It's really not much to come to church on Sunday morning and even come back on Sunday night and to come on Wednesday night. There's not much to that. God doesn't require. If you think about what God really requires of you, it's not that much. And people think about going through the motions of Christian life is the part that really turns, got to go to church and, man, we're going to have church every night this week, which don't, that's not a, That's not real. Don't come to church tomorrow night. We won't be here. But I'm talking about in the course of having revivals and stuff, people say, oh, we got to come every night. We got to come every night. Wow. People don't like that sort of thing because it seems it's out of their routine. And if you go through the motions, you're at church on Sunday and maybe Sunday night and perhaps Wednesday night, but Monday through Saturday is really my own time. And I've got so much stuff I've got to do. I've got so much stuff that I have to do. How many times have you told yourself that? And a lot of times you're worrying yourself to death. Boy, I really got so much to do. Well, quit putting so much on yourself then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. These Baptists, I run my own life, thank you very much. I ain't following no man. Well, cut yourself a break then. Don't be so busy this week.
Yeah.
Well, don't have time to read my Bible and pray. Well, cut yourself a break, old master. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Hey, maybe I'm not the best person to be giving you advice, but if I don't want to do something, I just don't do it. How about that? Now, if it's my responsibility to do it, I have to do it whether I want to or not. Amen? But if somebody on some committee scheduled a bingo night on Thursday night, I just won't go if I don't feel like it. Matter of fact, I ain't going. I ain't even joining that club, whatever club that is.
Yeah,
amen? Now, you start a club about shooting bullets and stuff, I'll join that club. I ain't joining your bingo club. I'll play backgammon and checkers and stuff like that. That ain't even worth starting a club over. What would the dues be on a checkers club? Like 35 cents a week? That ain't even worth getting involved in. But people join some strange things. Sometimes I think they put that stuff on them on themselves just to get out of going to church. Well, if I join the softball league,
yeah,
I won't have to come to church on.
Amen.
You think that ain't true?
Yes,
I think it's true.
Amen.
You see, preacher, now my boy's joining the baseball league. All that sounds like to me is, hey, we don't want to come to church on Wednesday night anymore. Wow.
Yeah,
do you feel that, how quiet that got right there? That's wonderful. Let's just pause right here. That's absolutely true. People congest their own lives and then really feel like they're doing God a service if they just give him a couple of minutes, you know, on Sunday, maybe an hour or two on Sunday, maybe, half hour, 45 minutes on Wednesday night. And what I said all that to say this, people end up just going through the motions in their Christian life. That's what this passage is about. 2 Kings chapter 22, you probably thought I wasn't going to read nothing. I was just going to stand here and talk, but all that stuff had a purpose. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 8, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asahiah, the servant of the kings, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that it, which is written concerning us. Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your grace. And I pray that you'd help me to preach this evening. God, help me to say what I must say. And forgive me, dear God, for my lack, Lord, for my physical condition. God, I pray that you'd help me. And Lord, you said that your strength was made perfect in weakness. So I pray, God, that you'd help me just for a few minutes to say what I ought to say. And Lord, chiefly, I pray that you would speak through your word into the hearts and lives of all this congregation. And that you would help us, God, This sermon, Lord, is not really to correct anybody, but for folks to search their own hearts and their own minds, and that correction would begin in their own hearts and their own minds, a transaction that's between you and them only, and I pray, God, that you would help them. The outward appearance and my judgment about anybody else, and Lord, probably has many faults to it, but God, each person knows their own heart, and sometimes people may not know their own heart, but God, you know their heart, and that you're able to reveal that thing to each and every person. So I pray, God, you'd help us. Have mercy on us, God. Speak with us through thy word. Lord, thy word is truth. And Lord, I know that you can sanctify a man. I don't understand quite how you do it, but I pray that you would do that strange work that you do, God, where you get into a man's life and begin to reconstruct his life. I pray you'd do that work here tonight, God. Though we've been saved many years or a few years, I know that each and every one of us needs a work done in our hearts, and I can think of no better place to start than to getting back to the book. And we'll thank you, God, for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Verse number 8 again, he says, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book. I have found the book of the law. Now, isn't that surprising that with the nation of Israel and all their kings and all their princes and all the priests and all the Levites, that they had lost their Bible? They lost their Bible. Isn't that strange? Now, I don't know if there was a situation where everybody had their own copy of the Bible. I tend to doubt that. But I'm sure that the Bible was at some point in early Israel's history easily acquired. You could easily hear somebody teaching or talking about God's word. But for some reason or another, considering the kings and considering the priests and considering the Levites, they have got to the place where they had lost their copy of the Bible. And I don't mean that they just found a book that was missing and they had all these other books, because if they had all these other copies, they would have certainly known what it said. But these people had lost the book to the point where they didn't have a clue what the Bible said. He said, we've found a book. He said, the scribe, he said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Well, that's the right place for it to be, all right. But he says, we've lost the book. And then after they read it, everybody starts getting scared and going through the motions of getting right. And that's a good thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's such a surprise to me. Well, they're still having service down at the temple. I'm sure it's a lot different than services we have today. But they were still going through the motions. You say, what did they do? They learned the process. They knew they were supposed to bring a sacrifice to this place. And they knew they were supposed to kill it in a certain place and put the blood in a certain place. And they were supposed to dispose of the leftovers in a certain place. And a priest was supposed to get a certain percentage. Yep. You don't forget that. Yep. Amen? Yep. I guarantee you, if you got something coming to you, you hadn't, the Lord sent manna down from heaven. Cough drops. That must have happened while I was praying. That's a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. But these priests, they know what to do. They know how to offer the sacrifices. They know where the sacrifice is being burnt. They know about lighting the candles inside the tabernacle, inside the temple. They know all about the table of showbread. They know where to put it. They know the altar of incense. They know where that goes. They know where the ark is. That's inside the Holy of Holies. They know where all that stuff is. Amen. They know where that stuff is just as good as you know where your church is. Yeah. I think some people forgot where the church is. Yeah. Been a long year, this COVID layover, huh? Some folks forgot where Bryn Zion Road is. Yeah. It ain't moved. It didn't move over to Commerce Street on Kenton, amen? Right. But see, a lot of people come to church. We're just going to come to church. We're going to sing. Yeah. Some preacher's going to say some funny things. Yeah. Yeah. And it just got used to it. Right. And we're going to come in, we're going to sing three hymns, and then we're going to say some things and hand out some birthday cards, and then we're going to have somebody sing, and then we're going to have somebody else stand up and say something, and then we're going to have somebody else sing, and then the choir's going to sing, and then somebody's going to preach, and we're going to get out by 12 o'clock. Not around here, honey. Sometimes we go through the motions, but some people take more time to go through the motions than others. I'm sure you can find a church around here somewhere that lets out at 12 o'clock sharp. But Lord have mercy, it only starts at 11 o'clock. What's the use in even coming if it's going to let out 1 hour later? So, well, Brother Mike, you preachers are so boring. We just don't want to. I mean, we would listen to preaching a long time if it was more interesting. I mean, you're so boring. Well, why don't you do it? Amen. If Adolf Hitler showed up here, Brother Allen, give him an opportunity to preach. Ain't nobody keeping you from doing it, big boy. If you're more interesting, you're going to hold their attention for more than 35 minutes. Come on. Ain't that right? Bunch of people in a hurry to get out. What's the problem? This country's Christians have got to the place where they're just going through the motions. These Israelites here, they got the process, they got the language down. They don't need no Bible. They don't need the law of Moses to tell them. You go through a routine enough. You know, routine is just a hair's breadth away from ritual. You go through the routine enough times, you can learn it. There's people in here that probably hadn't been maybe in here a year, maybe a year and a half. You sit here and watch long enough. If somebody was to just spring it on you and say, hey, next week you get to run the service, you could do it. You might be nervous. But if you sat down and thought about it a minute, hey, this ain't that hard. Sing three songs and say some stuff and give out birthday cards and make some announcements and call the choir up to sing, then preach a sermon. You could do that, man. You wouldn't even need a Bible to do it. Where do you see in the Bible, thou shalt have three hymns? You can make that stuff up yourself. I think it would be a very interesting thing to do, although we won't do it. Lord, I shouldn't say it out loud, though. Brother Allen might try it on you.
Sounds like a good idea.
I ain't even said it yet, and it sounds like a good idea. Listen, get two old lost bums off the street. Take them down. Take them down to the clothing store. Get them a nice shave. Well, don't get them a shave at the clothing store. They wouldn't appreciate that. Get them a shave first, then take them to the clothing store. Get them a nice suit on. Bring them in here, call them a visiting evangelist or something. They're going to have the service. Tell them what to do. Go through all the motions. You have people out there shouting their head. That guy was out drunk last week, but he's going through the motions. And if he put some emotion into it, probably shout him down. Hey, man, brother, about time we got some good preaching around here. After you made a big fool out of yourself, tell him, hey, the guy's lost. You couldn't possibly get away with that. People watch Joyce Meyer, don't they? People watch Joel Osteen, don't they? Listen, you find me a prophet or a preacher in the Bible like Joel Osteen. Go ahead. We'll just wait. They ain't one in there. The loveliest, sweetest preacher in the Bible. He was so sweet they called him John the Beloved. You ever read his books? Tan your hide. Amen. Listen, the summary of the epistles of John, if you don't do this, 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 and this, you're not born of God. Read it for yourself and see if it ain't true. Ain't no preachers like Joel Osteen in the Bible or Joyce Meyer, although she is the best man preacher on TV. But people just got used to going through the motions and going through the motions and going through the motions. You could fool anybody this day and time. You could fool just about anybody this day and time. Just put them in the right kind of suit. Give them the right vocabulary. That's what they were doing in the nation of Israel. They're going through the routine that got. Listen, God gave them the routine. But it became a ritual to them. Something we do every time we meet together. Well, for one, you say, well, Brother Mike, let's just do something different every time. No, that's not the point either. The stuff that we do, God told us to do that. Well, why don't we come up with something different to do? Because God didn't tell us to come up with something different to do. Well, all we ever do is sing hymns, and all we ever do is have preaching, and all we ever do is, which part of that don't you like, by the way? What's your problem with hymns? I'll tell you what your problem with hymns is. You like AC/DC too good. Amen. What's the problem with hearing preaching that tells you you ain't no good? You don't like that part. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is you think you are too good. Oh, I'm so wonderful. What makes you think people think they're wonderful? Look at all the pictures they've taken of themselves. That's an indication. That's a clue. Don't get enough likes on Instagram. Shoot theirself. They shoot theirself. It's a sad day we live in. I think the church has something to offer these people that are suicidal. I think that the church has something to offer people who have nothing going on any deeper in their mind than just self-love. And it's self stuff. Self. I don't like it. It's bad for you. It's bad for you. That's not to say I don't care about your cares. I don't care. It's not to say I don't care about your griefs. It's not to say I don't care that you're going through things. Certainly I do. But there's a cure for that stuff, and it's caring about others.
Yes, sir. That's right.
These things are going wrong in my life, and I just really need to get these things taken care of in my life. That's because you're going through the motions. You come to church, I don't get no help. Come to church, I don't get no help. I come to church, I don't get no help. Well, stop making it about I then.
Yes, sir.
Want to get some help? You want to get some help, boy? Find somebody else that needs some help and help them.
Amen.
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 Right. Spend 40 hours a week praying for yourself. God, I need this and God, I need that. I'm all for it. Listen, if you're praying 40 hours a week, pray for me, would you? But listen, you got people that pray constantly about themselves. God, I need this. God, I need that. Man, God knows what you need. God knew you was going to need it before you did. But you to make intercession for others. A lot of times, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, you don't even know what you need. You don't know what you need. I need love. You do? How'd you figure that out? God said you didn't know what you need. Start praying for other people. Lord, I really wish you'd help old Brother Rick. Help him, God. Help him. Before you know it, God will come to your rescue. And you'll find out you didn't really have needs. You had self-love. You wasn't really being appreciated. That hurt your feelings. It hurt your little feelings. Mama told us to get over our little feelings a long time ago. Feel feelings. Did you hear what she said about me? They had this little rhyme when I was a kid. I don't even know if it rhymes or not. I'm not even going to take time to think about it. I'm just going to say it. Sticks and stones will break my bones. Words don't rhyme. But words ain't going to hurt you. They taught us not to even care what people thought about us when we was kids. This was before the advent of Facebook, by the way. We didn't walk around back in the 70s needing you to check the box. Oh, I did. I take that back. Remember the little notes you wrote the little girl in kindergarten? Do you like me? Yes or no? I need a thumbs up, please. I never wrote any of those letters until I met Ruth. Yeah. Is that what you were looking for? Oh, good, good. See, I got a thumbs up right there. I've been validated by a thumbs up.
Amen.
Please subscribe as well. You don't know. You think you need everybody acceptance. No. Oh, I just want people to help me like I help them. No, you don't. I need love. I need a wife. I need a husband. No, you don't. That's the least of your needs until you get a lot of other things straightened out. Girls 18, 19 years old, you don't need no husband. Mm-mm. You don't. That's not what you need. I mean, eventually, all that stuff will be nice, but people are so self-centered. Me, 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 me. And that's, listen, church, listen, because church has got to the place where it's just a thing where people go through the motions, that kind of Hallmark stuff, you know, you didn't see Hallmark on the door when you came. This is not Hallmark Baptist Church. But that stuff has slipped into the church. God really cares about you. Well, that's true. But when that becomes the overarching theme of the worship service, every single service, people begin to take that to heart. If I was the only one, he would have died. How many times are you going to say that, Brother Mike? Until it sinks in.
Amen.
Until it gets in there.
Amen.
Hello. If I was the only one, Jesus would have died for me. Poor old Adam. Poor old Adam. He was the only one. Why didn't Jesus die for Adam when he was the only one? I guess he's got a different purpose. You know what the problem with going through a ritual is? You know what the problem is here? People got to going through the motions. They learned all the lingo. Sanctification. Redemption. You can say all that kind of stuff you want to, but if it don't mean nothing to you, or if you're just pretending it means something to you, or if you pretend it only means something to you, thank God I'm saved. Well, I thank God I'm saved too. I do thank God I'm saved. I thank God you're saved also. I wonder how many people stand up and says, boy, I thank God I'm saved. Wonder how many times they ever look back and said, oh, I'm glad old Eric back there is saved. I'm glad old Earl's saved. I'm glad Ruth is saved. Oh, I'm glad Brother Mike's saved.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I would dare to say that many, many folks, maybe the majority of folks that go to Baptist, King James, Bible-believing churches are so self-centered this day and time that they could give a rip if somebody else is saved or not. Let alone be thankful that somebody is saved. Listen, one of these days, I'm going to die and go to heaven. Brother Squeak going to be there. Or perhaps one day he'll die and get to heaven. I'm going to be there. I could die first. One thing for sure, we all going to die. You want, we Baptists sit around, we went through this motion so long, the Bible's had so little effect on our lives. We sit around so happy we're saved and so glad we're saved that the only thing we can do is sit around and go, that boy over there, man, he ain't right with God. If he's right with God, I'm a monkey's uncle. Just look at that guy. I mean, just look the way they act. Look at the way they talk. My goodness. You know what that is? Church has become just going through the motion. It's become all about me. Now, I'm the greatest man on earth. I'm the greatest Christian upon earth. And boy, I'll tell you what, old brother so-and-so, if he is a brother, he just doesn't live up to my expectation. You say, how'd you get on such dangerous ground? And that is dangerous ground. Just going through the motions. Patting yourself on the back. God sure does love me. I'm glad I'm saved. And that stuff even weaves its way into your little ministries. Yes, it does. Hey, I got to go out here. I got to go out here. Now listen, you take this wrong if you want to. I got to go out here and convert all these heathens. Well, you might convert some of these Baptists first. I've only been in church since about 1974, and I'll be quite honest with you. I've met some better people out there than I've met in Baptist churches. Why would you stay in a Baptist church then, Brother Mike? There's your answer right there. Figure that out. You do things the Bible way instead of just going through the motions. If you just go through the motions of church every week, you become the standard. You just go through the motions every week. You become the end-all, be-all. You become the doctrine maker. You be the one that decides somebody's saved or not saved. You be the one that decides somebody needs witnessing to or not witnessing to. Pretty soon you're the standard. You say, how do you know the difference? The reaction. Look here in this passage of scripture here. Let's look down in verse number 13. The king says, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found for great wrath. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. You know what this king is saying? He said, going through the motions, we forgot that God has some opinions about things other than the opinions we have about things. Yeah. Let me say that with fewer words. God don't think of things like you think of things. You might think that the most important thing in the world, listen, I'm talking about for you. You might think that the most important thing in this world for you is to go out and convert the heathen. God might see it a little bit different. God might say to you, get the beam out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to go get the beam out of somebody else's eye.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That, people don't like it, but that's called personal sanctification. God, listen, when you got saved, God wants you to get you right. Now, that's a process that he's going to help you with. That's a process that the pastor is going to help you with. That's the process that your Sunday school teacher is going to help you with. It's a process that we go through together. It's called discipleship. The key word in discipleship is discipline. Whatever that word means to you. It might not mean anything to you, but it's a part of your Christian life. It's a part of your Christian life. I'm very scared when somebody gets saved and they go into ministry almost right away. Oh, I'm scared of that. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I'm scared of it. I'm scared when somebody gets converted and their first interest is converting everybody else. I understand the desire to get other people saved too. I'm not saying anything against that. But it seems to me sometimes that attitude, oh, I'm saved now and I'm on my way to heaven and I have to go correct everything about everybody. Well, listen, Jesus died on the cross and it hadn't corrected everything about everything. Even among Christian people, we're faulty.
Yep.
We're saved.
Yep.
But people get so caught up in the motions of things and the idea of things, they feel like, well, if this person isn't holy and sinless for the rest of their lives, this ministry is no good at all. Look, there is no doubt in my mind that Bible-believing King James Bible-preaching preachers have come through this congregation and looked at different people in the congregation and said, there's no way that they're right with God. There's no way that God's word. Matter of fact, I've talked to preachers that have preached right there in that pulpit that says, I just can't go back there anymore because they just don't have enough standards around there. You know what that is? That's somebody that's lost their cotton-picking minds. They've got saved and maybe cleaned up one or two things. Maybe the thing that God convicted them about when they got saved, they got rid of that, and now they've adopted a creed. They've adopted a dress code. They've adopted a standard. They've adopted an outlook. They've adopted a worldview, whatever you want to call it. Now, everybody that doesn't live up to that standard, but that's not Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about anything so foolish as that. And then there's people, it's usually those people that find out that that life doesn't work, that life only leads to frustration, and they go the completely opposite way, and now they're a compromiser on everything, and they don't believe nothing.
Yep. Yep.
Hippies.
Yep.
Hippie preachers.
Yep.
Hippie preachers. Try to be so good and so good and so... You know why Jesus saved you? Because you weren't no good. You know why God wrote Romans chapter 7? Because you ain't no good after you got saved. Only thing good about you is that Jesus saved you and dwells within. That's it. That's all. That's everything.
Amen.
Well, I've got a certain set of standards. Where'd you get them? Where'd you get them at? You weren't born with them. Somebody taught them to you. Could have been that they weren't even sincere when they taught them to you. You know I know good and well these preachers. Hey, bless God. If you're watching movies, you ain't right with God.
Yeah.
You better stay away from that TV. Well, them cards too.
Yeah.
They watch TV just like everybody else does.
Yes, sir.
I know they do. but their programs are the acceptable ones. Oh, rated A for acceptable. I've seen that. I've seen that. Rated AFP, acceptable for preachers.
Yeah.
No, it means they got standards that they expect everybody else to live up to, but they don't expect themselves to live up to. Yeah. One of these days you're going to find out that that's the dirtiest rascal that they was.
Yeah.
I can't go to that church anymore because they're just too liberal for me.
Yeah.
I'd be glad to go preach at the Catholic Church next week if they invite me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Be all right with me.
Well,
I've known guys, Brother Ken, that quit their job because the people at their job was just too wicked. Did that make your money less valuable when they paid you at the end of the week? What's the deal? What's the deal on that? I'm going to buy me a Big Mac after work today, but I just couldn't do it because all them people in McDonald's are so wicked.
Yeah.
No, man, I'm buying it.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I have to qualify that. There is one exception. I went through the McDonald's drive-thru in Folkestone, Georgia one time. And I pulled up to the window thing. I hate going through the drive-thru.
Yeah.
That's so impersonal. But at any rate, this guy comes to the window and he says, "How you doing today?" "It's none of your business how I'm doing today." I thought that was the Christian way to respond.
Yeah.
I just don't like that sort of thing. If a guy says, I'm done with the conversation right there.
Amen.
But that's an extreme circumstance. I go to another McDonald's somewhere. But listen, when you've gone through the motions, you go through the motions enough to make this religion yours. This is not your religion. This is not your church. Oh. See, this is the modern trend. This is your church. No, it ain't. This is God's church.
Amen.
It's God's.
Yes,
it's God's. It's God's.
Yes,
you guys are all going to be sick tomorrow. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Come over to my house. We'll all convalesce together. Lord, help me. Super spreader. Super spreader. I feel good, though. I might be cured.
Amen.
I'm so sorry, guys. Let me go over here for a while. I'm so tired, I just want to go home and go to bed. This king, he said, you better go talk to God. That's my message tonight. You better go talk to God.
Yes,
you know what happens in the rest of the chapter? I'll make the sermon a lot shorter for your benefit so you can go home and get some Robitussin or something. He said, go talk to God. Go inquire of the Lord. He said, because if I'm reading this book right, we in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, whether it's preachers and evangelists who keep telling preachers, stop preaching all that hard stuff. Listen, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to listen to that junk. Brother Mike, why don't you get to go out and preach all that? Because I'm not agreeable. I'm not a nice guy. I'm not going to go to, if I go to a church to preach, I try to take the temperature in that place and try to give them something that'll build them up. Of course, I don't go to Philadelphia and call them all idiots because I don't know them that good yet. But guys watch the internet and they see what I said on the internet, they're not going to invite me to their church. Because listen, this generation of preachers has gone through the motions enough. If somebody gets in and starts screaming and hollering, talking about sin, and the wrath of God falling on people, that will upset the apple cart. We just can't have that.
Yeah.
We just can't have it. Half the congregation will leave. Half the congregation will get right. We'd rather have the whole congregation than just the half that wants to get right.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, I would to God that everybody would get right. I would to God that every single person would get right. Not trying to run people off, like to run people in, not trying to empty pews, not trying to hurt people's feelings, not trying to preach for just for shock value. That's the furthest thing from my mind. But I know this, if I know anything, is that that book hadn't changed since 1974 when I started coming to church. Some people are going to believe and some people are not going to believe. And this is the message for those people that do believe tonight. God is not happy with the way things are. In my life, in your life, there are things that can be cleaned up, and they will not ever get cleaned up just going through the motions. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You're not just going to come to church and sleep through service. And, oh my goodness, it's late. And leave here with revival in your soul. It's not going to happen that way. It can't happen that way. It's impossible for that stuff to happen. God is not going to magic you some revival. Magic you some revival. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. Do we believe in a merciful God? Yes, we do. Do we believe in a gracious God? Yes, we do. God will have grace and mercy on any old backslidden fella or lady in this building. He'll have mercy on anybody and everybody. Amen. But he ain't going to do it by him. He ain't going to cast a magic spell on you.
Amen.
And lo and behold, you're a great. Listen, you have to respond. This king said, oh, my goodness. That's just the layman's terms on it. That's what this king said, oh my goodness. When's the last time as a Christian you heard a sermon and said, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. It's true. You might not have heard the sermon and you might not have had that response, but it's true. Oh my goodness. Now you skip on through the chapter there and you'll find out that priest did go inquire of the Lord and he did get a message from the Lord. And the message from the Lord is, I don't like what you've been doing. And you would have known that if you'd have been reading that book. But you let the book get buried in the money. That's where they found it. That's where they found the book. Safety deposit box down at the bank. That's me. I can think of his name, I'll say it. I can't think of his name. What's the financial? Dave Ramsey. Thank you, Lord. Don't tell Dave Ramsey where they found the book. He'll be upset. How much money have you saved this year, Brother Mike? It ain't none of your business. That's so wonderful. You go through the motions enough, stuff like that pique interest. I think God really wants me to say. Well, he does. You mean like, I've got a proof verse for that, matter of fact. Take no thought of the morrow. Boy, that don't work, does it? How do we get caught up in stuff like that, Brother Mike? Going through the motions and all these other areas. Mm-hmm. The king said, boy, we better get right.
Amen.
We better get right. Brother Mike, you against saving money? No, save all you want to. Leave it to that dumb youngin' you got. Help yourself. My boy's dumb. You think I'm saving money to leave for him? No, sir. Mm-mm. See, I have to say stuff like that, even if I don't mean it, because somebody's night is already ruined, and they've got to have something to talk about. That preacher said he wouldn't even save any money for his children. Well, if that helps you out, if that helps you get over the sermon, I'm glad for you and happy for you. If you need another excuse to let yourself off for serving yourself instead of God for another week, I'll come up with something else to tell you next week. Amen. Look what he says down in verse number 18. But to the king of, well, let's read verse 17. Because they have forsaken me, they still go in the temple. God said that they forsook me. They still offering sacrifices. But the Lord said, listen, oh, we came to church last week, but God said you forsook him.
Yeah.
Some people worried more about the service than they are the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Some people worried more about the Bible school they went to than the book.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Some people got their education at Commentary University. I'm not about to put no commentary up on the same pedestal with the Bible.
Amen.
Not about to do it. Well, Bible scholars agree. I could give a rip what Bible scholars agree on.
Amen.
Bible scholars, they got smelly armpits and they pick their boogers just like everybody else.
Amen.
Well, he is a doctor. I don't give a rip.
Amen.
Yep. Amen? That an old preacher in the 40s said this, he was talking about England when he said it, but he said this country's going to be ruined by the experts. The experts are going to have more power over the people than God's word. And that's exactly what happened here. They got the sacrifices, they got the lingo, they got the verbiage, they got all the right things to say, but the only problem is they don't got God's opinion. They don't have God's instructions. They don't have God's ideas. They don't have God's views on things. And so they're just doing their own thing. God said, the result of that is you forsook me. I got my King James Bible. You forsook him. I go to church once a week. You forsook him.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. If you're in a place where you care more about your opinion the way we always do it, then you do what the Bible says, then you forsook him. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Sounds awful bad, doesn't it? But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. God going to do exactly what he said he's going to do in that book. He said, is he going to bring judgment? He's going to bring judgment. Is he going to bring tribulation? He's going to bring tribulation. Is he going to chastise individual Christians for their sins? Yes, he's going to do that. But he says this. This king said, we're in trouble. Go ask the Lord. The Lord says, I will do what that book. That king read that stuff and he says, God is going to punish us. God is going to punish us. Go talk to God for me and ask him what to do. The man goes and talks to God and God says, yeah, they forsook me. Everything that's wrote in that book, all those judgments are going to come to pass. But I want you to go tell that king one thing for me. Because when he heard the words of the book, he humbled himself. Because when he heard the words of the book, he went to his God. He didn't turn his back on it. He humbled himself and he rent his clothes and he was very humble. He says, I'm not going to do it to him. I'm not going to do it to him. Now, I don't know if it's just one individual. I don't know if it's the whole congregation, but who's humble? Who's humble? Would we humble ourselves and say, God, help us? I could say this, but I've said it so many times before. God, give me a second chance. Man, a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. But I'm a man just like you. I mean, if you're a woman, I don't know what to say for you, but I don't know nothing about being no woman. But I know this. I know men are pitiful creatures. Men are pitiful creatures. Yes, sir. And we fail and we come short. And I read that. Why are you so down on yourself, brother? I read the Bible about that. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's true. I've been saved. I've been saved since I was a five-year-old boy. Still coming short. Been preaching a long time. Still coming short. Been the pastor of a church. Still coming short. But listen, when I still come short, I still get before God and say, God, help me.
Yep.
Amen. I just believe, listen, I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what they say. They probably got some good stuff to say. But when I get sick, I say, God, what did I do? I said, Brother Mike, I don't know if that's a good way to look at things. I don't care if it is or not. That's the way I'm going to look at it. If I get a pain in my side, it's because I sinned against God.
Amen.
If I die and they roll me down here in the casket, don't say, oh, he was a good guy. I was a bad guy. I'm dead laying in the casket because I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
How do you know? Because the wages of sin is death.
Yep.
Going to hurt my feelings. Dead.
Yeah.
Hey, this kind of preaching wouldn't hurt your feelings if you was dead. Ain't that true? Ain't that true? Ain't that true? Ain't that true? We're dead. We're dead men. We're dead. And our life is hid with Christ and God. If your life ain't hid with Christ with God, this kind of preaching makes you angry, makes you upset. You upset, boy? Amen. Amen. That's good. Hope for tomorrow.
Amen.
It's true. But, oh, why don't that preacher just be nice? Because I'm not nice. I'm not a nice guy. Why don't you come over to our house and have tea? Because I don't like you. Amen. I take my dinner and teas at the Ryman's. I've had enough socialization. Amen. What am I saying? I read the Bible. There's bad stuff in there. I believe it. I wish I could do better. Amen. I try to disciple myself, learn how to be a better Christian, try to grow. One of those passages we read in Proverbs chapter 1 for Sunday school this morning. Brother Michael, you're going to rehash Sunday school? You should have been here. So I'm going to take a little extra time if you don't mind. I'm the one sick. One of the reasons that that book was written, it said that a man would increase learning. Yeah, I try to grow in the Lord. I try to learn what God expects of me, come short. I try to learn what God expects of me, come short. But you got to have a humble heart about that. God, help me and forgive me about it. It's not something you just take lightly and cast over your shoulder. And the preacher said that 100 times. And I don't have to worry about that today. I'm young. I don't have to worry about that today. I got plenty of friends. I don't have to worry about that today. I got plenty of money. Why wait till you're broke and broken down and sick to start worrying about getting God on your side? Listen, this king is healthy and in his right mind, and he reads this stuff and he says, this is going to be, this stuff that's written in this book, these curses for doing wrong and these blessings for doing right, these curses are going to break our nation and break our lives down to the ground. Oh, God, help us. Go find out what God will say. He humbled his heart that way, and God said, I'm going to take care of you. And that means a lot to me. You say, why do you keep getting right? Why don't you just go and, if you're so bad, why don't you just quit being a hypocrite and just go be bad? No, sir. I don't want to be bad. I'm bad. I feel like a third grader. I'm bad. No, I'm worse. No. But that's not hypocritical. That's just being a man. To me, the biggest hypocrite you ever seen is right there in Romans chapter 7. Paul the Apostle. That which I hate, I do. Well, then you're a hypocrite. You know what that means, don't you? We're all hypocrites.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yep.
Every one of us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get right over to that lady that every church has that's always willing to talk and say all kinds of stuff, and she's better than everybody else. Just get right over there next to them, preach about being a hypocrite. For about an hour and a half, if it'll last that long.
Yeah.
We'll ride that wave as far as it'll go.
Yeah.
You're a hypocrite.
Yeah. Amen.
It's you. It's you
that's
I'm talking
great.
To. You say, why? Because you, listen, it's not, I'm not trying to make fun of people, not trying to hurt people at all. It's just, listen, but before you breathe your last breath and meet your God, this is the place where you humble yourself and say, God, we're terrible sinners. Terrible sinners. God, help me and forgive me and fix me. And once you've got help and forgiveness and fixing, then you go out and say, let me tell you, dear sir, about a Savior that loves you and cares for you and died for you. I'm not talking about jumping. Let's jump down somebody's throat. You're going to hell, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, he might send you to heaven pretty quick. You keep talking like that.
Amen.
I tried to witness to this guy, but he told me to go jump in the lake. Well, how was you talking to him? Like you cared about him, or like you was, you know, God's representative on earth, like the vicar of Christ or something like that? You're not the Pope. Ain't no popes in here. Bunch of sinful weirdos. In this building right here, bunch of sinful weirdos. And the only problem is, I could spend another half hour trying to convince you this. You're all weirdos. To somebody in this building, you're a weirdo. Probably to 90% of this building, I'm a weirdo, but I don't care. I'm a happy weirdo. Amen. My wife loves me, so I don't care what you think. I'm awful sorry I'm giving y'all all these germs and stuff, though. I'll try to stay up here. I'm going to be done. Can you humble yourself and say, God, I believe what your Bible says. Do we even believe the wages of sin is death? Do we even believe that? I'm a Baptist man. The wages of sin is still death. I'm saved, Brother Mike. The wages of sin is still death. It still is. Amen. What do you suppose the wages of ignoring this book is? The wages for ignoring this book is getting in a rut, going through the motions, and spending the rest of your life supposing that you're God's first man or that you're God's first woman. And that God is happy with everything you do. When I've got news for you, God is not happy with everything you're happy with. He's just not. My message is not to berate you or bring you down. My message is to bring you up. Just consider it. Are you going to have the same reaction that this king had? Say, God, help me and forgive me. Just help me and forgive me. There's plenty of stuff in this book, if you care to read it, that'll shape your life and build your life and improve your life. It's a process. Not all going to happen in one day, but to know where it is. Know where the source is. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for them cough drops that showed up here. Appreciate that, oh Lord. I pray you'd help me tonight to continue to, Lord, get better and better as a Christian. Help me, oh God, to continue to grow. Help me, oh God. To become a better pastor, Lord, to become a better preacher, to become a better husband, to become a better father. Help me, oh God, to be a better manager of the things you've given me, the blessings. Lord, help me. I believe everything that you said in this book. Lord, I get so busy sometimes trying to fix one area, I forget other areas. Kind of get backslid on one side while I'm trying to get right on another. Oh, us men are so weak. We were so easily blinded. Lord, you said the sin that does so easily beset us. I wish we were stronger, but we're not. We need your help. If there's any way we could get your help, we'd have to know what you say. We have to know what your opinion of things is. And we really have to believe and have concern about what your opinion is. And what about your thoughts are on different things. It's easy for us to justify ourselves. But that a man might be justified by God, how could we find that place? Lord, help us to find that place, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray it.